It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. It's Tuesday. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com and so forth. Rick, pleased to be explaining what you talked about this morning with Coin. Also, please to quit mentioning things that you never actually get to. Yeah, I'm working on it. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. We kind of recap briefly last hour. But we have the worst automotive luck on this program. So your car, which is I don't know, what, about a decade old, something like that.
Yeah, it's a 95 Saturn.
But was in decent condition.
Nothing had ever happened to it.
There was no reason you couldn't have been driving it for like another 20 years. And then, we found out it wasn't a Geo Metro. It was a Ford something or other?
A Ford Aspire.
I don't even know what that is.
It looks like a Geo Metro.
It's a little tiny car.
Yeah. Little shoe.
But one of those things, though, that if it's going quickly enough, we'll do all kinds of damage. So on Sunday, whoever's in this Aspire is speeding down the street. What time was this? Like 10, 11 o'clock at night?
No, it was like 1.
Like 1 in the morning?
Uh-huh.
So they're speeding down the street, wham, right into Sarah's car. Well, thankfully, she was not in it. But destroyed it. And so the best part of the story, though, which we talked about yesterday, is that it just, like, they hit the car, and then they just got out and, like, ran away on foot. Mm-hmm. Like, they just skedaddled into the night. And the car, it turns out, the car wasn't theirs. Like, was the car stolen?
I still have yet to hear from the cops. They were supposed to get a hold of me.
Johnny on the spot.
Yeah, as of yesterday, when I myself went down to the station to see if they'd done anything about it, there was no.
You should have told them that there was someone with, like, a single joint standing somewhere. They would have been, like 30 seconds later, they would have arrived.
It was frustrating because they're just standing around looking at, like, little pieces of glass on the ground. I'm like,
hello.
Look at all these people.
My car. Witnesses.
Yeah, they might have done it.
My car destroyed. So they haven't caught whoever did it, no. Right? So the theory is, and again, this is just speculation of my person. The thinking is that these are people, the car didn't belong to them, so they were either borrowing it or they had stolen it.
Or maybe they were just deeply stupid and thought that they could just run away and not have anything happen.
That sounds about right.
Well, but I'm...
That's what I think. Cause
I'm
I don't
wondering
think
if
somebody,
that is in fact the case.
That's what I'm thinking because a witness said that it looked like a couple that were screaming at each other. So I don't think a couple would go and steal a car and then be fighting with each other in the car. I think that they probably were wasted, got in their car, were fighting, and then didn't know what to do, so thought the logical thing was to run because they didn't want to get DUI.
Yeah, well, I mean, now that we're going on like 2 days since it happened, has anybody even come by to talk to you?
No.
Yeah. Good times.
And the lady was, woman was supposed to call me yesterday. She
Yeah, the best part was when we went down yesterday, Sarah's like, can we go to the police station? It is after yesterday's show. She's like, I want to go down and ask them again if they found the people who hit my car and ran away and whatever, if they can, like, take my information. So we walked to the police building, which is down on 3rd, which is... And, you know, I am not anti-cop in any way. I don't think anybody is. I'm not really anti-the man on the street. I'm anti-the man. I think there's a drastic and discernible and important difference. So we go to that building, which is unnerving, to say the least.
Oh, the Palace of Justice?
Yes. Because you walk in, and it's got this weird, creepy, like, chrome double helix staircase, and it's all, like, marble, and, you know, they're talking to you behind foot-thick glass, and it's like, you totally go in, you can hear, like, the Imperial Death March, like, just playing in your head and so forth. Anyway, and so we go in, and then there's, like, there's a creepy sign on the window that's, like, sex offender registration hours have now changed. If you are a sex offender, please come back between 4 and 6, which is creepy because it indicates to you that, like, there's enough of that happening that they need to, like, you know, see that with, like, a special hour set aside for it.
It's like will call.
Seriously. So we go in and we set aside she fills out the information, and then we leave. And so it's, like, 2 days later, and so I went by yesterday because she had, and I have not posted them yet. People are asking if we've got photos of the car, and I have a couple photos of Sarah's car that I have yet to post. I will be doing that, but the whole car is just trashed, which has got to be, like, no fun at all because you're having to get up and go to work at, like, what is it, like 3 a.m. You got to be at Coin. When do you have to be at Coin?
I have to be there a little before 5.
So how are you? Are you just, like, calling people, like, at random in your cell phone directory?
And then, thankfully, after work, the enterprise, the car company I rented for, they come and pick you up.
Right.
So, they came and picked me up and
And they've given you some huge...
They gave me this awesome car.
And now is it a boat? Is it like a... What kind of... Is it? It's not an SUV. It's a...
It feels big for... It feels like a maybe a Volkswagen Jetta. All like that size.
All right. And so... But the thing... The reason we're talking about this is because... So on Coin tonight, so they're going to be doing a piece... Is... Describe
and
how this happened.
I look so ghetto. Well, I'm wearing my bike riding outfit, so I'm wearing like rolled up jeans and a black t-shirt, and my hair is all...
You look like somebody who needs to have their car hit.
I know. I look so sad. And Muppet was running around, so I had to hold Muppet while I'm wearing my big glasses, so I look like a snob.
This white trash woman had her car hit by... So
Muppet's running around, so I had to pick him up and hold him. I'm like, and here's where it hit the pole.
So you were at Coin this morning, and you're sitting there, and you're talking about the whatever, and then my car got hit, and you just mentioned it in passing, and they did exactly what journalists do. Exactly what everybody thinks the media does is what happened this morning, because you were kind of late getting to work, or you were hard to get to work, or whatever, and you're complaining about it, and then my car got hit, and the police haven't done anything about it. And they immediately spring it at you. Go, that sounds like a great story.
Yeah, the news director was like, Shelly, come here.
Let's go rake some muck.
Yeah.
And so they went and they filmed the whole thing. So that'll be on TV tonight?
It'll be, yeah, they said for the 6 o'clock.
Do you know what the voiceover is? Do you know if it's going to be like, do you know how they're going to, this woman.
I don't know what take they're going to do. I don't know if they're going to focus on the driver or the police department or.
Are they going to do what? Did they get like the obligatory shot of you like standing at the bus stop?
They got the shot of me pedaling away on my bicycle.
Shaking your head no.
Yeah.
Holding your head in your hand.
Sitting there looking sadly out a window like with your head on your hand, just sort of like looking out as sunlight streams in, wondering why.
Too bad it was like a unicycle. That even makes it look worse.
Wondering how this cruel twist of fate must befall you.
Well, the more time that passes, the more frustrating it is. Like, I just don't understand if they have a car in custody, how come nobody has talked to me?
Right.
How come I'm sitting there, I had to have my car towed to my house, and it's just sitting there like a junk heap, and the police aren't doing anything about it?
I just love the idea, though, that, like, the people who hit your car... I mean,
and it's okay. It's the message that they're getting is that it's okay to do that. Because they're not getting punished for it.
The police say it's okay to hit cars and just run away and leave a mess in the middle of the street. Leave it to somebody else to clean it up.
That's exactly how they're going to frame it tonight. That's it. Because you know that all of those stories, any time the media has the chance to just completely lay into the city, because this is a bad time to be working for the police department anyway, because of the whole Foxworth thing. And
well, I have to tell you, there were like 3 or 4 cops there, and nobody took a statement from me. Nobody did anything. And there were all these witnesses standing around. Nobody was rallying them together, asking any questions. It was very frustrating.
All right, so let's place bets right now with the fight, because this piece is going to air tonight on Coin about you. What is the thrust of the piece? That somebody hit your car and the cops did nothing?
Just that somebody, it was a hit-and-run accident where the people actually literally got out and ran.
ran away on their stumpy, stupid little legs.
And maybe it is going to take up, well, because I was just honest with them, because I'm sitting here asking the police department numerous times what's going on, and I get no answers.
Apathy in uniform.
Is that's what I'm saying right now. No, that's, we should totally take bets now on what, like, the headline is going to be. There's 3 things. The crux to any story is these 3 things. There is, the name that they give it, you know, that's like the Killer Katrina, you know, whatever it is, that there's the slogan, there's a little headline, there is the final shot, there's the what is the final shot, and that's always like the final picture they show of the subject of the story as the piece is ending, and then there's the final closing words that they say with like the concerned nod of the Stephen Colbert head.
Riding away on my bike.
Did they get a shot of you riding away?
They got a specific shot of me riding away on my bike.
That's totally what it'll be, and it'll be... The closing statement will be... God, I don't even know. It'll be something like, but for now...
I don't
know. I'm flaking. I've got nothing. I'm freezing.
Something about 2 wheels instead of 4.
For now, blup. But for now, Sarah Dillon's ride is the 2-wheel... No, that's no good.
Yeah. No, you had it.
For now... But for now, Sarah Dillon is left wondering, just blah, blah, blah.
When will the wheels of justice turn?
Oh, there you go. Good times.
I've been in this business for 30 years.
And apathy, what'd you say?
Apathy in uniform.
Apathy in uniform. Mm-hmm. Or it'll be like a
hit and run. Maybe like run, like italicized.
Hit and run away. Hit and...
Wow, you're really off today.
I got nothing. I got this. Normally, these just come to me like that. I've got. All right. Should I be taking these calls again?
No.
I just. It's like reaching for it. Sir. No, don't take it. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right. See now, and here we got, here we've got the people. The people are like,
the people are speaking.
The people are,
we're on your side.
The people are speaking, and because we're on your, that's totally how they'll frame it too. It'll be one of those, Coin Six cares about the common man.
Yeah, and the guy who interviewed me, I've always wanted to meet him because he has the coolest name. His name's Cor Harlan.
Cor Harlan.
And it's his real name.
Is that like his parents named him that because they want him to be the daytime alter ego of a superhero?
Mm-hmm. He kind of looks like a superhero. He's like 6'6 and like really handsome.
Good. Maybe we'll get some action on this.
Cor Harlan.
Cor Harlan.
How do you spell Cor?
K-O-H-R.
K-O-H-R?
That sounds terrific.
All right. Whatever you say. Let's see. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, it's John.
John, how can I help you today?
Hey, tell Sarah that it's barely a crime, and if she has insurance, it'll never be solved.
Thanks for helping out. I appreciate that.
It's you know, in this city, and I only and I know a little bit about it. My ex was one of the men in blue, and it's. A hit and run, if you had insurance and no one was hurt, they're done.
Oh, so they just ignore you? The police are done?
Yeah. They'll take a statement, but believe me, it's not like they're going to put that.
Well, because but the thing is, you only had liability because it's like a 12-year-old car.
Right.
Right?
No, but the thing is as long, they'll only go after somebody if somebody was hurt or they, you know, it was somebody they were after. Or, you know, believe me, they're not going to, if they call you, get a statement from you, it's like somebody breaking into your car. If somebody breaks into your car and steals all your crap, they're not going to investigate. They're not, it's not, there's too much stuff going, just like you saw the
there's system. Such belief
but
in
would,
the system.
But I would think that, you know, that these people who are dangerously driving, who smash not only my car, but the car in front of me, run away on foot in the neighborhood, I would think that would get more attention
so like
than it was given.
Running away on foot looking for the next car.
Yeah.
They can shimmy their way into.
If the car is stolen, you may have a case, but if it's somebody's car and they hit you, they'll end up with a ticket, they'll go to court, and they'll, it won't, that'll be the end of it. I mean, they'll show up at their door, here's your ticket for a hit and run, you know, have a nice day, you know, this person you hit, and then your insurance, if you have just liability, nothing, you know, it's a sad situation, but
I think I have
pretty
full
much
insurance.
Done.
All right, there you go.
Well, then they left their car there.
Thanks for the pick-me-up. I appreciate
that.
Yeah, really. There you
go. See you next Tuesday.
Yeah, okay, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. All right, we got this one. Rick, it'll be your tax dollars at rest. There's got to be something with you and the dog, because if the dog is in the...
He did get a close-up of Muppet sniffing the camera.
Then it'll totally be a... But for now, this hard-working blah, blah, blah is left wondering...
Da-da-da.
Nah, something. I got nothing. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Rod.
Hey, Rod, how can I help you?
Oh, I'm calling about Sarah's car.
Yes.
You know that whoever hit her car, and just like the last caller, the cops aren't going to do anything about it. They're just going to...
I'm sensing a common thread in all of today's callers.
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to do?
Well, I think the general concern is that the people who hit the car... And again, it's not like... I mean, I understand it's just a car, but just from my perspective, the amusing thing is that they hit the car... And they're so clearly dense that they get out and they just run away in front of like 35 witnesses and then nothing happens, which is, I mean, it really, it almost makes you want to become a criminal. You know what I mean? It almost inspires you to go out and start doing it left and right.
It's not fun being a victim.
No,
it is. It's sad. But you know what? I'm sure that their life, that's what their life is like, is just look at that wrecked car.
Yeah, I suppose. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye.
All right. There you go. It's like when the 4Runner got stolen from in front of my house, and they told me that what they do apparently is that like there's, you know, they said the new thing for the car thieves is just to steal a car, drive it for like 5, 10, 15 miles or a day, and then just dump it and get another one. And so the whole thing is just to do this daisy chain of like one car to another. And so if the car didn't belong to them, then it's like it, you know, you take it, dump it, get another one. Take it, dump it, get another one.
Then the thing to do is just to keep putting $3 worth of gas in the car. So it gets two blocks.
Then you never.
So you're doing the right thing.
You never
it's
have
like
to fill it. You're conserving resources too. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
I can hear it now. Our next story involves our own Sarah Dillon and a story of wrong and right and a flight into the night.
No. You had it at the beginning, and then it fell apart.
Yeah, I know. Hey, listen, can't we all put our resources together and, like, hold a fundraiser for Sarah's new car?
Yeah, that's a really responsible use of CBS Radio.
Well,
to raise money to buy a new car.
Don Rickles could entertain.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm all in favor, but I don't necessarily know that would endear us to the world at large. Please send your money so Sarah can buy a car.
Well, listen, there were a lot of people that came together to send coffee mugs in.
That is true. That is true, sir.
If everybody who loves Sarah put in $10, she could have a nice ride.
All right. There you go. It just
freaks me out. Like, those are the people that are taking care of us, and they're not taking care of us.
See, right now, listen to this. The embittering of the youth is happening right before your ears.
It happened to me in the armpit of California, which is Sacramento. I didn't hear about my car for 2 weeks, and then the cops chose to tell me at 3:30 in the morning that it was a burned-out Hulk under a bridge.
You just answer the phone, hello? By the way, we found your car. It's useless. You'll never drive again. Thank you. God bless.
I'm going to wait until like 9 o'clock in the morning to tell you that.
Good times. All right, thank you, George. All right, there you go. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Sean.
Sean, what's up, brother?
Well, I'm an insurance adjuster, and I hear about this kind of stuff all the time, and it's rather common, actually. The police are doing something about it, but they are so swamped that you won't hear about it for quite some time. I mean, they got so many other cars that are falling in the same scenario that it's just going to take a long time.
I know, and we should say at this point, by the way, I said this at the top of the hour, but I should take it very clearly. We're not anti-cop on the show.
Absolutely.
I'm not opposed to cops that are out there. I have no problem with cops. It's not so much the cops as it is like the man. And when I say the man, it is like this huge bureaucratic system that is just focused on like all of the wrong things.
Yeah, because God forbid, I'm very busy too, and I know that they have a lot on their plate. But at the same time, while they're busy sifting through all their paperwork, I'm still not going to have a car. And, you know, my rental car will run out in a couple weeks, and it's still going to be at the bottom of a stack there. Still won't have a car.
So do you actually, I mean, you said do you have full coverage in your vehicle?
I think I do. I don't know. They were able to get me a rental car, but I don't have a police report or anything. I'm going to the DMV today to file an accident report.
Sounds to me like you have full coverage, and you should be okay, but there's two different coverages you can apply for under your collision, and then there's usually an uninsured motorist. And it's usually carried a lower deductible, too. So make sure if you have uninsured motorists, go through that first because it's usually a lower deductible.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
What was your name?
Sean.
All right, Sean. Thank you, sir.
Well, insurance is a fascinating business. I know that firsthand.
Every day. Like 4 hours of insurance talk. Okay, here we go. This is a breakout of the coin story, this is Nate. Nate says, the story will be a voiceover of a figure of the lone Sarah riding into the sun. And then the detail turns to dramatic silhouette. And now the road that leads to the people who destroyed Sarah's car is one she'll have to travel on a bike. A bike built for one. And then, like, slow dissolve back to the news desk. There you go.
She'll be pedaling in front of a full moon.
Sarah. Let's see. P.S. Take it from a former Coin News employee. Cor is a badass. So is Jeff Gianola. Says Nate. All right.
Is that a complimentary remark?
I'm assuming that's the case. All right. It's 503-733-2970. All right. We should... can we burn Sarah's car at Dante's on 666? No, we are not going to be doing that.
How about in the middle of Hawthorne?
No, yeah. No, we're not going to be burning anything in public anywhere.
Bring it back to the crash site.
All right, here's what's coming up on the Rick Emerson Show. Later on, Dennis Pitzenbarger is going to be here. I have this top five stuff to get through. We have the new Inquirer we got to get through. So do we have Peter Carlin?
I left him a message. I haven't heard back.
All right, so at some point we have Peter Carlin coming up and more of your phone calls, et cetera. Listen to this. I got a great one. Rick, I had my car stolen from the bar I worked at. It was caught on film with complete crystal views of the perpetrators. The cops declined to even watch the tape. Good luck, Sarah. Chad in Portland. All right. I'll play the Week in Geek here, and then we'll go to the break there, and we'll come back. Don't go anywhere. It's 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there.
And now, the Rick Emerson Show presents The Week. Geek in Geek.
Hi, I'm Aaron Duran of GeekInTheCity.com, and this is the all-positronic version of The Week in Geek. Ridley Scott, the director who alters his films more than George Lucas, will release his version of Blade Runner, subtitled Blade Runner The Final Edition. The movie will lack the Decker voiceover and the craptastically Disney-esque happy ending. Japanese scientists have developed a robotic hand that responds to human brain waves as well as their biological organic counterparts. In other news, Sarah Connor goes into hiding. Finally, if you want to build your own robot and lessen your chances of female companionship all at the same time, OMSI will be debuting their newest event, Robots Plus Us. Robots Plus Us opens May 27th and will run through September 4th. You can learn more at geekinthecity.com, the home for all things pop culture. For The Week in Geek, I'm Aaron Duran.
The Week in Geek, only from The Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's Tuesday, 503-733-2970. We're now a week away, by the way, from Horns Across the Hawthorne. You can find out more. Go to rickemerson.com or myspace.com/rickemerson. We're going to have a FAQ up at 970.am later today. People have been asking where we're going to gather for the... It is 1 week from today, 5:30 on 666, which is next Tuesday, June 6th, 5:30 p.m. I'm reading that this is now directly from the marketing department. People, I was asking how to describe where people should gather. I'm reading now their exact instructions. Look for the AM 970 tent. We have a tent. What things are looking up?
Is that like a huge tent that people gather in?
It's not really our tent. It's someone else's.
We're covering their logo with ours.
No, I believe we actually have a tent. Look for the AM 970 tent on the grassy knoll. Just below the Northwest pedestrian entrance. So that's it. So if you're on the northwest side of the river, if you're on the downtown side of the river, there's just a little grassy area right before that pedestrian ramp on the bridge. So we will gather there at 5:30, and then we will get up on the bridge for the raising of the horns, it says, at 6:06 p.m. And we're gonna, the whole purpose of this, by the way, is twofold. People have been asking why we're doing this. It comes once a century, and so everybody sees those, those historic photos taken at whatever, at Times Square or at midnight, when the millennium flipped, or, VJ Day or something.
Sailor kissing his girlfriend.
That's exactly. It's totally what it is. So this is going to be our version of that. This is going to be our historic photo for all of us who live under the mighty fist of rock. So on 666, which is next Tuesday at 5:30, we're going to gather there at the AM 970 tent right there below the Northwest pedestrian entrance of the Hawthorne Bridge. And then at 6:06... we will take a historic photograph, all of us extended across the bridge with the devil horns, after which we will go to Dante's, and there will be libations and a pentagram of prizes that you will be spinning. Here's the thing about this story of Sarah getting her car destroyed, and I'll get the photos, we'll deal with that later on, but the only real upside here is that I'm now getting an endless series of stories from people whose cars were destroyed in interesting fashion. Listen to this. Rick, when I heard your discussion about Sarah's car, I could totally relate to all that Sarah's going through as I totaled my car about a month ago. I live in northeastern Pennsylvania, and while driving in a major highway recently, I hit a black bear.
Oh.
Yes, a black bear. Never saw the bear at all, it being black and nighttime at all. I thought I hit a brick wall. The impact was amazing. The best part of the story is the reaction of the local people in this area. Many were not surprised and decided to share Pennsylvania bear stories with me. And, of course, there were a bunch of idiots who were more concerned about the bear than me or my car. Anyway, I have insurance that the loss was covered. I was able to get a new car fairly quickly. Good luck to Sarah during this whole process. That is from Missy. By the way, thank you for the podcast. They are awesome. I moved here about a year ago. It's been a tough move. Blah, blah, blah. How about this one? These emails are, on the one hand, consoling because it's people who had terrible things happen to their cars. On the other hand, they all end with, what can you do? No one helped
me. Missy's was a positive one.
Yeah, but that's in Pennsylvania. That's not here. Yeah, that's in Pennsylvania where the man helps you. Rick, I've had my car stolen once, broken into twice. No one did anything to help. By the way, I play hockey, and while I'm not big, I swear to God, if I catch anyone in my car, I will beat them like a circus monkey. Lamers who steal piss me off just that much. Signed, April. So there you go. And not having a car is the most helpless feeling on earth. You really just feel, I don't know what the female version of emasculation is, but you just feel so completely childlike in that you are having to depend on everybody around you. It's like the worst thing.
No, it is your car when you're a female too.
Totally. So we'll kind of update everybody on how that goes. We got Dennis Pitzenbarger coming up later on. Peter Carnell will join us. We'll talk about the upcoming Sopranos semifinale. Ladies and gentlemen, though, this is Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Sorry, I was filling out my accident.
That'll fix everything. That'll solve your problems.
From higher down to the bottom of the coin, tire downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. Tim Riley reporting. Still, the Portland Police Bureau has not found the people who drove the car into Sarah Dillon's car, even though they have overwhelming evidence.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, were there many, many eyewitnesses who saw this?
Were many, many, many people standing around, and nobody would talk to me. As soon as they found out it was my car, everyone kind of ran away.
Was it a whole lot of, this doesn't concern me.
Yeah.
I don't wish to be part of any ongoing legal...
And that's when I was really mad, and so I stood on the sidewalk, and there's this group of people, and everyone's looking at me like I'm some monkey. I'm like, did anyone see anything? I'm like, this is my car.
And they're just hearing a... Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah. And finally some guy raised his hand in the back. He's like, I saw what happened.
I saw something, but I don't know nothing about this. This is none of my concern. He just ran away. It's like every episode of Homicide, where they're over, like, asking for witnesses, and everybody's like, I'm not talking to the police. And sort of walks off. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, an emergency radio station announcement mistakenly warned that a massive volcanic-caused mud flow was heading from the flanks of Mount Rainier and that listeners in the valley below should rush to higher ground.
How do you accidentally make that announcement? What were they supposed to say? Something about partially cloudy and...
I don't know. The emergency warning was broadcast for nearly an hour...
You're all going to die. Just like a klaxon sound. You're all doomed. Run, and then... Okay, well, there you go.
This was on 1580 a.m. in the town of Puyallup. Now, you can bet that not too many people...
Oh, somebody wasn't born here. All right. Puyallup.
Why would anyone name a town something so ridiculous?
Oh, please. Isn't everything in New England named after some of the Indian guy whose name can't be pronounced?
No, it's named after something in Britain.
All right, well, whatever. Anyway, yeah, so Puyallup is one of those places, right? It's one of the many.
It's a disease.
It's one of the many places that will be destroyed the next time Puyallup is just one of those Northwest Pompeys. It's only a matter of time before everybody there is just sort of frozen in ash, you know, to be uncovered by National Geographic 500 years from now.
I was in tears at a woman named Murray in Tacoma. She and her 17-month-old son were in a car with her grandmother and was shaking. She warned her coworkers. About 30 people started frantically calling loved ones. Some called their children at schools in the Puyallup Valley and told them to leave immediately.
I'm unclear, but is this a real radio station they were listening to, or like one of those?
Right, it's 1580 AM. How real can it be? Some old AM radio station way down the dial. What are the chances of something being spoken in English that far down?
Just playing, like, bad real Don Steele reruns. I guess my point, Tim Riley, was that...
This is a pre-recorded radio message apparently triggered by a software error.
I guess my question was, is this a real radio station in the sense that, like, this here... I mean, not that we're the best shining example, but, that, like, we're a real radio station, or is this one of those... Because you know when you drive through...
Oh, yeah,
the Northwest, one of those...
Tune to 570 a.m., next 2 miles for weather and traffic instructions. Tune to 570...
And it just, like, recycles over and over and over again. Because the fact that this woman was in tears because she heard the volcano announcement...
Now, this is the only woman in tears. One woman. One woman was in tears. Nobody else heard this.
It indicates that either A,
yes,
she just sits around and listens to this, like, fake weather-only radio station that only broadcasts for, like, a square mile somewhere.
Who would do that?
I don't know. But here's what I'm getting at. And it's all leading up to a clear channel joke.
Oh, maybe she's dreaming of doing a talk show on this someday.
Little bastard. I'm sorry. I was thinking of something funny I heard earlier.
Yes. Getting back to the story and the original point of it.
My point is that either A...
Is this a radio station like ours?
Either A, she sits around and just listens to that that weather station all the time. Which would be like if my dad used to get blitzed in front of the television and watch the Weather Channel for like 6, 7, 8, 9 hours in a row for like no real reason. Or it is an actual real commercial radio station. How long do they run this announcement?
They ran it for an hour.
And they ran a fake, like an incorrect, you're all going to die under mountains of molten rock announcement for an hour.
That could happen anywhere.
And no one heard it because why, Jim Riley?
Well, apparently there was nobody there.
Because there was no one there. Because it was a radio station where no one really worked. I'm not saying it's a Clear Channel radio station. I don't know that. I am saying that this would not be unlike a similar story that happened back east a while back, which was, I believe, a radio station, a series of radio stations in a town owned by Clear. Wasn't there like an ammonia spill or something that happened back east?
No, that was here. That was in Idaho or one of those.
And there was like no way to warn anybody in the town because all the radio stations were just these automated boxes of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. That was a long way to go for a dig at Clear
Channel.
That
was an awful long story.
Really? It's just pointless.
Well, let's go to the religious nutcase.
Never read that story again. Story's dead to me. I renounce that story.
Religious broadcaster Pat Robertson says he has a leg press 2,000 pounds, but some say he'd be in pretty tough shape if he had. Now, I saw this on TV. He did not.
Now, get ahead of myself. I went to the cue, everybody telling me that I get my news from the wrong sources. I went to the Drudge Report. He's just insert, like, rimshot here. But I went to the Drudge Report to get this news, and there was... It was, you know, how he links multiple headlines to the same story sometimes. And it was like, the headline was like, Pat Robertson claims to have bench press, or to leg press 2,000, which is a ton, by the way. For those of you who have forgotten, that is a ton. Literally a ton. And then below that was another link like, see video. And so what I did first is I clicked on the story. And I read the story where Pat Robertson said, I leg pressed 2,000 pounds. And then I clicked back to watch the video, and in like the 5 minutes, like Drudge had updated his page, linked to the video, gone. So my question to you, Tim Riley, news director for AM 970 Solid State Radio, is that, was it a video of Robertson claiming to have done it, or was it a video of him actually doing it?
It was a video of him allegedly doing it.
Okay, man can eat 50 eggs, and no man can leg press 2,000 pounds, not even with the power of Jesus.
He wasn't doing it all the way. His knees were still bent as he was claiming to be doing it.
So this is on...
I saw it on CNN.
This is on that machine where you sit down, and it's like a rowing machine, sort of.
Right,
but
you're on your back.
But yeah, you're on your back. It's like a rowing machine, you're tilted backward, and you are pressing... You are pushing the weight away from you.
Correct.
All right. And so he claimed to do 2,000 pounds.
Right.
Now, I only saw how many pounds. There's no one who could do that. No. I'm not just picking on him because he's Pat Robertson. That does help. But clearly that's not a thing anybody anywhere can do. And I hate to sound like Sarah's ex-boyfriend, Justin, but I hate to... Well, no, because he's a gym rat, isn't he? He's one of those gym-going guys.
Yeah, he is now.
He and Kyle get all greased up and go to the gym together. Pluck each other's excess body hair. The still I saw was Pat Robertson... First of all, he had his knees together, which you're not allowed to do.
Right.
Second of all, he had his hands on his legs and was, like, pushing it up with his... But even then, there's no way you could do 2,000 pounds.
But he wasn't going all the way with it.
Because
these were still bent.
It's where you're supposed to... You have to count your legs out. You have to fully extend your legs.
That's correct, yes.
All right.
And he just wasn't doing it.
All right, well, screw...
So this is just another series of lies.
So there you go. Because I think the record was I mean, I think the record was like one third of that or something. It was like 600 pounds or some. And even that, did you see the interview with the guy who actually held the real record for how much weight you could leg press? Because Pat Robertson claimed he did 2,000 pounds, which is, that's one of those things where I think your organs would just explode out of all of your orifices. I think on the one hand, you'd hold the record. On the other hand, I think your intestines would be shooting out of your eyes.
Your eyeballs would be bouncing across the room.
I mean, literally wouldn't, I hate to be disgusting, but literally wouldn't your eyes just blow right out of your face if you were trying to leg press 2,000 pounds?
I would assume so.
I mean, I'm not a scientist or anything, but I do think that your corneas might actually just shoot out right off of your face. If you know the answer to that, by the way, if you know the answer to what would happen to somebody who pressed 2,000 pounds with their legs, please call me, because I'm getting a really fantastic image in my head, and I want to know if it's in any way related to the reality. It's 503-733-2970. There's your religious nutcase watch. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that not? Are we?
Part two.
Oh,
Super
I'm sorry.
Tuesday.
Here is part D.
An Iraqi tennis coach and two of his players were shot to death this week in Baghdad because they were wearing shorts. This is reported in the latest of a series of recent attacks attributed to Islamic extremists. And the Baghdad incident, gunmen stopped a car carrying the Sunni Arab coach and two Shiite players, asking them to step out and then shot them. Extremists have distributed leaflets warning people in the mostly Sunni neighborhoods, warning people not to wear shorts. Wearing shorts by youth are prohibited because it violates the principles of Islamic religion. Showing forbidden parts of the body. Also, women should wear the veil.
Yeah, it's a good thing that we're bringing Western-style democracy and freedom to Iraq.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
And daisies and rifle muzzles there. All right, there you go. There's your double religious nutcase watch. All right, it's 503-733-2970. All right, so this is... All right, well, let me just take a couple of these. Hi, Rick Emerson... Oh, I'm sorry, I'm picking these up on the wrong line again. Hi, Rick Emerson Show, who's this? Hello, sir.
Hello?
Hi there, how are you?
Actually, this is wanting to talk to Sarah about that car wreck.
Oh, I see. Talking to Rick's not good enough for you. Talking to Rick, I'm a booby prize. I see. All right, hold on. There you go. Hi, Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
Hey, Rick, it's Dave.
Hi, Dave. Okay, so you calling... So this Pat Robertson thing?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so... there's no... No one can press 2,000 pounds. Am I right about that?
No, you're pretty much online. There was a guy that was at the University of Florida that set at least the school record. I don't know if it's the national record.
Right.
At about 1,500 pounds, at which time he did literally blow out his frickin' eye.
Oh! Which one? Do you know? is there a photo of this? That's all I care about.
You know, I didn't see it. I just heard the interview on...
I wonder what kind of a noise that makes when that happens. I wonder if it's like more of a popping or more of a wet sort of slapping sound.
When a cork comes out of a champagne bottle.
Seriously.
I think it'd be like stepping on a crab.
Oh, it's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Hey, Rick, I got one other thing.
Yes.
You know, nobody ever asked Robertson if it was 2,000 pounds at one time.
That's true. Just over the course of his life, it's been 2,000
yeah.
pounds. Yeah. All right. Literally blew out his eye. That's going to be the... Unless something else surpasses it, that's going to be the phrase of the day. Thank you, sir.
Anytime.
All right. There you go. Thank you. All right. Good times. All right. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Chris.
Hey, Chris. Is this Chris from last week?
Yeah. You get my email last night?
I did, actually. I saw that. I saw it real briefly last night. Good to know that things are kind of working out for you. You feeling in a better place about things? Have you... It always helps. It makes one feel better to pile on Pat Robertson, Chris. I've learned that is the cure for all ills.
It's one of my favorite things to do.
All right, so are you with me on the no one can lift 2,000 pounds thing?
Oh, yeah. The most I ever lifted was 950.
900? Now, is this like with your arms or with your legs?
My legs.
All right, because I...
And I blew out a vein in my forehead.
Oh, that's no good.
Yeah, it hurt.
Does that make an actual noise to the people around him? Can you actually hear that, do you suppose?
No, well, I don't know.
It's
I'm just curious.
Like when you have a tapping inside a pool and you put your head down and you can really hear it echo.
Oh.
Yeah, you kind of hear it pop, pop, pop.
Oh, that's terrible. All right. Chris, thank you. I imagine it would. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah.
All right, there you go. How many times has that phrase been used on this program? The, oh, it hurt. Let me get the... Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Rick.
Hi, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right.
What have you got, brother?
Well, there was a guy that was powerlifting, doing squats a while back.
Okay, please don't tell me that this ends in something inside his body ending up outside his body through a narrow opening.
Exactly.
Oh!
Blew out his shorts. There's video on the internet in graphic detail.
Please never mention this again.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. There we go. We're going to end the discussion of Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson lifting anything. Rick, stolen car by brother's friend is this email. We're continuing the saga of Sarah's car being destroyed by pinheads who hit her car with a much smaller car. And to be destroyed by a Ford, what's it called, a Spire?
Yeah.
It's a tiny little thing, looks like a Geo Metro. That's embarrassing. A car destroyed by what is effectively a matchbox car. My car was rammed in front of my house in southeast Portland. I found where the car who had hit me was by following the radiator fluid leak back to his garage a couple blocks down from my house.
That's
it.
I pointed this out to the police, who never followed it up. As a side note, the same police officer with other cops kicked my door down at 6:30 a.m. a Sunday morning 2 weeks later. Our neighbor had called about a noisy party and told the police to be careful because my house was, quote, full of vagrants. So I explained to the officer he should have known there were no vagrants in my home because he'd been there 2 weeks earlier prior to take my hit-and-run report. He told me he had no recollection of the hit-and-run incident.
Okay, so it's good to know that they're on the ball when someone's making too much noise, but heaven forbid.
Good times.
Running through the neighborhood.
Okay.
I love Portland Police.
Let's see. It's 503-733-2970. This is a final word on the Pat Robertson thing. Rick, I saw the video of Pat Robertson doing the leg press. He was using 45-pound plates and barely pressing no more than 12, which is 540 pounds. Not to mention the sled is being pushed at an angle, so you're not really lifting all the weight anyway. Lying bastard. All right, there you go, says Gerald. But let's do one more here, and then we'll break.
Well, a female radio presenter has been given the boot for dressing too sexily on the air. The 25-year-old DJ known as Lady Ray is now taking Germany's Radio Bremen to an industrial tribune. Huh? Oh, that must be their court. She said, my boss told me my skirts were too short and my tops too low, but I don't understand it. It's not as if any listeners can see me, and my breasts don't speak into the microphone. She's claiming damages for unfair dismissal.
Okay. Let's break now, shall we? Oh, I got, top five. You know, can I just tell you that before we break?
Yes.
We are awash in undone top fives. Because, sometimes I have difficulty thinking of conjuring up a new top five, trying to figure out what we're going to be doing. I never have any idea, sometimes what we can do that we haven't already done. I got like 50 top fives that we haven't gotten to yet. I got the Condoleezza Rice's top five songs. I got the top five Zeppelin guitar intros. I got the top five embarrassing songs from the 60s. I will have assembled the top five overused talk radio, the top five songs most overused as talk radio beds. I have all of this. So I don't even know if we'll get to one today. Here's what's coming up. Peter Carlin for the Oregonian is going to talk about the upcoming Sopranos semifinale. We got to get to the Inquirer. What else? Dennis Pitzenbarger will be here from the Tribune. And so forth. And we're talking about the destruction of Sarah's car. We're talking about Horns Across the Hawthorn, which happens in 1 week from today. It's all very exciting. So stay there. We will continue after this, plus more at the City Desk with Tim Riley. It is the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Stay there. Back after this. Don't go anywhere.